May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. I see we've reached that season where I'm going to be needing sunglasses to preach to you all from here. For the last 2 weeks, our gospel readings have focused on the interplay between Jesus and John the Baptist. 2 weeks ago, we had Matthew's account of the occasion when John baptized Jesus. And last week, we read from the Gospel of John the Evangelist, the testimony of John the Baptist regarding the baptism, as well as that gospel account of the call of the disciples, which was somewhat different from today's, wasn't it? So this week we're back in Matthew's gospel, and we find that the story has progressed 2 steps forward. We've jumped over the account of the 40 days in the wilderness and the testing of Jesus that occurred there, but don't worry, we'll come back and pick that up on the first Sunday of Lent. Today, we've arrived on the shores of Galilee, just in time for the launch of the public ministry of Jesus. We're told that Jesus had to withdraw, or more aptly, he fled, from the Judean wilderness to Galilee in response to the news of the arrest of John the Baptist. Now, John was handed over in the same way that Jesus will be handed over at the beginning of his trial and passion in Jerusalem. Recognizing his peril, Jesus follows in the footsteps of his earthly father, Joseph, fleeing to Nazareth before making his home in Capernaum. And as I pointed out 2 weeks ago, Matthew often turns to the prophets and suggests that the actions of Jesus are undertaken in fulfillment of the prophets' oracles. In this case, we're told that the new home of Jesus is located in a region foretold by the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, Galilee of the Gentiles. That's an important distinction, Galilee of the Gentiles. Locating the home of Jesus in Galilee of the Gentiles broadens the horizons of those who would bear the word of the Jewish Messiah and receive his redemption. Matthew sees that the light that the Messiah brings is not just for the nation of Israel, but must also reach all the rest of us who sit in darkness and in the region and shadow of death. Unlike the Gospel of John, Matthew does not identify Jesus as the light of the world. Nonetheless, citing the prophecy from Isaiah makes it clear that Jesus returned to Galilee will be the occasion for those who sit in darkness to see a great light. No doubt the ministry of Jesus with all his teaching and healing is the basis of that light. At the same time, however, as the gospel narrative proceeds, we will learn that it is the followers of Jesus who also bear light in the world. In a couple of weeks, we'll read from the Sermon on the Mount in which Jesus tells the people that y'all are the light of the world. And I use y'all intentionally to point out that it is plural. You all are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So, how do we carry that light? We listen to the proclamation of Jesus, the proclamation that says that the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is the first flicker of a light that will grow and shine among his followers until we're able to proclaim the kingdom of heaven from the housetops. The light that has dawned is the gospel message that Jesus proclaims and embodies. What's interesting is that Jesus proclaims throughout Galilee the same message that John the Baptist proclaimed in the wilderness around the Jordan River. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has drawn near. Jesus came to announce to us the kingdom of heaven, to invite us sinners into the demands of that kingdom, and by his death on the cross and his resurrection, to usher in that kingdom into being. And so the first public utterance of Jesus in Matthew's gospel is an exact echo of John the Baptist's wilderness preaching. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has drawn near. And from both John the Baptist and Jesus, this proclamation calls for a changing of one's mind, a new way of thinking and being and acting. However, what follows that call to a change of mind is subtly different in both instances. John is setting the expectation for the kingdom of heaven to draw near. He's preparing the way. Jesus calls for participation in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven has arrived on the scene in the person of Jesus, and the first thing that he does is to call his disciples. To Simon and Andrew, Jesus promises that their new way of being and thinking and acting will expand their skills. These men who cast nets for fish will catch people instead. As for James and John, the sons of Zebedee, they receive only a call. There are no hints about what follows, no details about the mission, and no promises of success. And yet they accept this call to a new way. They get up and follow Jesus, leaving their old lives and even their father behind them. As is true for the followers of Jesus who come after them, the meaning of their choice will unfold only over time. Jesus himself might have preferred to stay in the Judean wilderness where the angels had come and ministered to him, waited on him. When the news comes to him about John's arrest, he makes a different choice, however, by withdrawing to Galilee. Where he calls his first disciples, he preaches the Sermon on the Mount and begins his ministry of healing and teaches what it means to follow the Messiah who is God with us. Those first disciples, for their part, might have preferred to keep their jobs, to remain with their families, to stay with the life that they knew. When they see Jesus and hear his words, they make a different choice, however. They take a risk. They step out in faith and leave behind what was comfortable and secure. They choose to follow Jesus. And what's more, that choice to follow Jesus must be renewed each day, because following Jesus means changing one's way of living and being and acting, repenting each time there's a challenge or temptation to stick with what's familiar. As we hear from the Sermon on the Mount in a couple of weeks, and for the weeks following that until the last Sunday in Epiphany, Jesus will provide very clear guidelines for his disciple, and they will not be easy to follow. These are guidelines for kingdom living, bringing light to those who sit in darkness. And as Peter, Andrew, James, and John discovered, following Jesus and fishing for people is not for the faint of heart. It takes courage and a sense of adventure, because it may take you to places that you've never dreamed of, and it won't always be safe. But if you answer the call to follow Jesus, you are always assured of life that is abundant and filled with the glory of the love of God. Even when we sit in darkness, that glory shines with a great light. If you answer the call to follow Jesus, to proclaim the good news of his salvation, not only your life, but the lives of many others will be blessed. Because as our collect today reminds us, we and all the whole world come to perceive the glory of his marvelous works. So hear the call, follow it, and bear light to the world. Amen. Alleluia.